Good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia on this Saturday, October 7th, 2017. No, your volume is not out of distortion. I am Steve Goldman, sitting in for Anthony Scorsia. Anthony currently on assignment, but he is available on the phone. So, Anthony, good morning. How you doing? Let's try that again. Anthony, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning.
There we
What's
go.
What's going on? Thank you for quarterbacking this morning. I appreciate it, as I am on special assignment down here in Florida.
My pleasure. Long Island's only golf talk radio show, by the way. Got to get the tagline in there.
Boy, how are you doing this morning, Steve?
Boy, what a week, huh? The President's Cup. The America team is going to need a presidential pardon after the massacre beatdown that they laid down on on the international team, and then no rest for the weary. Let's start the wraparound season for 2017-18. We're already two rounds in California at the Safeway Open, and it's quite a leaderboard already.
Yeah, obviously, the jokes are in abundance of the exhausting off-season, that golf has a whole 3 or 4 days. And, I was looking at the past wraparound season. I don't know how far you want to take it. But an interesting thing, you have Brendan, if you look at who won the wraparound season last year, let's just say the last maybe six events, or the first, in this case, first six events, Brendan Steele, Justin Thomas, Cody Gribble, Hideki Matsuyama, Rod Pampling, and Pac Perez. I find it interesting. Three of those guys, that's half of those that six tour start, made it to the tour championship. So I wonder, despite all the jokes, I wonder if the wraparound season or that beginning of the season has anything, will in time show us sort of foreshadowing guys who are going to have a good year. It seems to indicate a little bit of that, last year, although I don't know what the years are last year because of, it's hard to keep track, but it's just interesting to see who won in the early season last year versus and who made it to the tour championship. So just something to keep an eye on as we go forward.
Absolutely. The leader after 36 holes is Tyler Duncan, graduate of the Web.com Tour. He's a 13 under. And you mentioned Brendan Steele. He's the defending champion at Safeway. He's one back. And former PGA Tour Rookie of the Year and number one on the Web.com, Chesson Hadley, firing a 61 yesterday. He's two back. So, these, like you said, maybe these are names that, come next August, we're going to be hearing again as they try to vie for another FedEx Cup. But a couple other noteworthy names, some names that we talked about from over the summer. Maverick McNealy in his pro debut, he made the cut. He's currently eight back and tied for 23rd. So, continuing with his success from the U.S. Amateur and from the Walker Cup.
Yeah, and that familiar names, it'd be interesting to see, we talk about, and we will talk about with Steve, how talented these guys are. And then you wonder, as talented as they are and as amazing as they were to watch, it's just, I'm curious to see, come 5 years down the road, who's actually still playing on the tour and who have chosen to do other things. It's just, pro golf is hard, and it's a fine line between those who can who make it and sustain and those who don't. So as amazing as it is to watch them, it's also there is also the other side of it, and that's those who don't continue on as a pro golfer.
And some noteworthy players that unfortunately won't be playing the weekend. We had our first hole-in-one of the PGA Tour season yesterday. Jason Schmuel aced the 15th hole in the second round, but he won't be around for the weekend. Good to have Sangmun Bae return from his stint in the military in South Korea. He actually won this event in 2015, but unfortunately won't be here for the weekend. And another decorated amateur from the summer, Cameron Champ, unfortunately missed the cut by a couple of strokes. But, like you said, golf is hard and certainly talented. And speaking of amateurs, Anthony, this is what we call a setup in the radio business. If I asked you to think about, let's take the U.S. amateur, because, of course, that's the gold standard for amateur golf. Is there one match in the history of the U.S. amateur that immediately comes to mind?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to think long and hard about that, but I'd have to... Maybe If I think hard enough, I'd probably come up with the 96 US Am. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I think we are. The 96 United States Amateur, a little known player named Tiger Woods, winning his third consecutive. And when we come back, the person he defeated in the championship match, that is none other than Steve Scott, the head pro at Paramount Country Club. So when we get back, we're going to talk to Steve Scott. Right now, you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Steve Goldman, sitting in for Anthony this week, but we do have Anthony on the line. And right now on the line, we have the head pro of Paramount Country Club. That's in New City, New York. That is an A.W. Tillinghast design. And his name is Steve Scott. Good morning, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning.
Steve, what do you
morning.
Steve, what do you make of these amateur players, especially the summer that they had, both in the U.S. Amateur Championship as well as in the Walker Cup, and how, let's say, pro-ready a lot of them seem to be at such an early age?
Yeah, you get a guy like Maverick McNealy, and you know, he's been a stud all through college, his Stanford days, and yeah, they're ready to go. I mean, it seems like they're getting more and more confidence. You see guys like Justin Thomas come out and only have 3 years under his belt and come out and win a PGA Championship and a FedEx Cup. And you see a lot of guys, you know, they're coming out earlier and earlier. I saw a stat during the Tour Championship that, you know, the top five players in the world, their average age was 33 years old. And before that, and now it's that was a few years ago, and now it's, you know, they're 27 years old is the average age of the top five in the world. So you are seeing it younger and younger, and I think you know, you'll see the trend continue because they're getting confidence from what they're watching on television.
Now, you played amateur golf a generation ago, as Anthony and I alluded to, the runner-up in the 96 USM. You played on two Walker Cups. Could you envision even then, you know, how the leap that amateur golf has taken, and like I said, the seemingly quicker transition to the pro game as opposed to when you were playing amateur golf?
Well, I think now everybody is hitting it as far as they ever have, and including myself. I mean, I'm hitting it, you know, at 40 years old now. I'm definitely hitting it further than I was when I was 20. So, you know, technology has sure played a part in it, and you know, the juniors coming up, they've got the biggest headed drivers possible, and they've learned how to swing as hard as they can and create a lot of speed at an early age because they're not in fear of missing it. And I think that's really why you're seeing, you know, that youth movement really continue.
Good morning, Steve. Anthony here, and I just wanted you to know that I'd like to get as close as possible to my guests before we have them on the show. So I'm reporting here from Coral Springs here down in Florida, a place that you are familiar with. And I wanted to let you know, at least as of the first quarter, Coral Springs was tied 7-7, whoever they were playing last night as I passed by the stadium. So I just wanted you to know that it was I'm in a place that's close to your heart.
Yeah, being a grew up, born and raised in Coral Springs, Florida, right down near Fort Lauderdale, where you're at. And, yeah, I loved, yeah, probably a big reason why I got into golf. You know, being a Floridian, you can play golf 24-7. So it's a good place to, you know, to start learning the game.
Yeah, Going back to the level of amateur playing, I want to know, you know, you're obviously as a teaching professional. I was just curious if what the kids do, let's say now, is it better than what made a good an elite amateur then? Let's say when you played, are there different skills, or is it the same skills that they're just sort of progressing and doing better?
That's a good question. I think you have. You know, as an amateur or you know, throughout, you know, junior golf into amateur golf, I think you have, you know, I think it just comes, technology has really helped. You know, maybe in the past, you know, only the guys on tour or the people who were, you know, had access to, you know, a tailor-made testing facility or something like that may, you know, would have the opportunity to hit a ball and get information from a launch monitor like a TrackMan or a FlightScope, and now, you know, that technology is everywhere. I did some Fox Sports covering last year and this year, and last year at the U.S. Girls Junior, you know, the girl's 16 years old, and she's got TrackMan on the range, you know, before her semifinal match, and I kind of shook my head, and I said, you know, this is why they're doing it. This is why they're, you know, they're getting information, more information at a young age, and they're taking advantage of it.
Well, speaking of Fox, as long as you brought it up, that's a perfect segue. So what has your experience been like as an on-course commentator for Fox, and has it helped you in your either your teaching style or even your game itself, being out on the course and seeing the play?
I think it absolutely has. I was fortunate. I covered three USGA events for Fox this summer, and I covered the Senior Open, the Women's Open, and the U.S. Junior, and it was great. I got to cover guys like Tom Watson and Nick Faldo and Freddie Couples and ladies' game, Michelle Wee, Stacey Lewis, Brittany Lincecum, you know, So Young Yu. I mean, all the, you know, the best players in the world, got to see them up close, and yeah, for sure. You know, when you're out there, I was doing I did on course commentating. When you're out there, you're thinking and trying to, you know, get into the player's mind, and you know, strategy was really one of the biggest things that I, you know, when I play competitively, that's kind of my niche. I don't overpower a golf course, and so, you know, I try to out-strategize my opponents, and really, you know, when I'm commentating, I try to, you know, bring that out, and, you know, reading the lies or the wind, and, you know, trying to, you know, just get into the player's head, and, you know, tell the audience what they may be feeling, the players may be feeling after they make a bogey or something like that.
Can you talk a little bit about the mechanics of it? I don't think people have an appreciation for the mechanics of the position when you're on course. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's not like you can walk around with rangefinder and just shoot everything. You have a yardage book, you have your microphone, you have a you know, your fanny pack, your technology fanny pack, where you have to switch on and off. You have people talking in your ear while you're trying to formulate your thoughts and your strategy as the player, and what as you try to project that to the audience. The mechanics of the position is pretty difficult. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, it is and it isn't. I mean, I think once you do it a few times, it becomes a little bit more routine. But yeah, I mean, you don't want to talk over the shots, you know, as they're swinging. You as an on-course commentator, you know the in the booth guys kind of throw it down to you, and you know, you might have 10 seconds to, you know, to figure out what how you're going to describe the shot and describe the action, and then at the same time you have to be listening. Okay, are the caddy and the player talking? You know, you don't want to talk over their audio, and yeah, there's a certain kind of, you have to get in, you have to get out, and there's a certain pacing. There's a certain pacing to it that you know, you become accustomed to, but you have to, you know, have, you know, concise thoughts and deliver it quickly before they pull the trigger.
This might be a good time to take a break.
And okay,
we'll head into the back nine, I guess you could say. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the, some of Steve. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about your teaching philosophy and some of your influences.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Okay, so we have head pro from Paramount Country Club, Steve Scott, on the line, and we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will talk about the work that he does at Paramount Country Club, but now you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frank Rossi of Cornell University. As the stewards of New York's golf courses, superintendents are dedicated to protecting our natural resources. In heavily developed areas like Long Island, golf courses offer large expanses of open space that provide environmental benefits, such as allowing water to infiltrate into the ground naturally and providing habitat for native species such as bees and butterflies. To help manage golf courses in harmony with the environment, the state's golf industry has established a comprehensive best management practices program to educate and serve as a resource for superintendents. For more information, see our website at nysgolfbmp.cals.cornell.edu.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Steve Goldman sitting in for Anthony, but we do have Anthony on the line, Long Island's only golf talk radio show. We also have as our guest today the head pro at Paramount Country Club, none other than Steve Scott, also decorated amateur golfer, two-time Walker Cupper, and of course runner-up in the 96 USM. Before we get into your pro stuff, I have to ask you, Steve, in 1997, of course, the fact that you were a finalist at the U.S. Amateur the year before, that gave you an invitation to play at the Masters in 97, and you had the fortunate experience of playing a practice round with none other than Jack Nicklaus. How did that come about, and what was that experience like?
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, Mr. Nicklaus was pretty unbelievable. He was like a grandpa out there to me, giving me guidance, and there was just so many instances out there where he was showing me where the things were, and I just wasn't seeing as a rookie there. I wasn't really seeing the breaks in the greens like he did, and he gave me on one of the holes on the ninth hole. He gave me a read, and I thought it was breaking totally the other way, but I decided to listen to him because he had six more green jackets than I had at the time. And
pretty smart move there.
And I played the putt the way he said it from about 30 feet, and it went in, and the crowd went crazy, and I just kind of shook my head. I said, man, I guess that's why you got six of these things. But it was a really a surreal experience to be able to go out there and play with the best player who's ever lived, and been fortunate to play with a lot of great players. But that was one afternoon that I'll absolutely never forget.
Okay, so you're head pro at Paramount Country Club. It's in New City, New York. It's a Tillinghast design. I've never heard of the golf course, not that I'm an expert on golf courses or their design, but the fact that it's a Tillinghast design, and of course, being on Long Island, we're surrounded by Tillinghast designs. Are there any unique features to the golf course?
We've got about half of our greens have tremendous slopes to them. We have really got to keep it below the hole, and if you don't, you're going to have a very difficult time putting, but it's more of a second shot golf course. We stretch out to about 6,800 yards, par 70. It's very, very playable for all walks of golfer, women, seniors, and up to the top notch player. We host a lot of qualifiers in the area for the MGA and U.S. Open and U.S. Amateur. We hosted U.S. Amateur qualifying this year, and the golf course holds up. It's a very good test, even under 7,000 yards, but it's just playable for the everyday member, and it's got a lot of just steeply sloping greens. Half our greens have a lot of pitch to them, so we can't get our greens 13 on the step meter, but they get plenty fast enough. And Tillinghast built some amazing green complexes here.
Yeah, and you also have one of the few reef holes, number 18. I'm a little more familiar with Paramount, having the fortune and the pleasure of not only playing it, but I also am a friend of, we have a mutual friend in Phil Young. You have a reef hole, and you had Jim Urbina come in, who was just who did an amazing job. I've played it a couple of times, and I just love it, like you said. And I know people who have played it for in professional events, as you said, or, you know, professional amateur events, I guess. And it's a difficult golf course. It can be, you know, it tests basically every aspect of your game. I was just curious what you learned from the time of the renovation, or restoration, maybe is a better word, when Jim was there.
Yeah, I, you know, you just start to learn about having spent time around Jim Urbina, got to really get into the architect's head about, okay, what was Tillinghast thinking when he designed this hole, and what's the optimal, you know, line of play, you know, or they call it the line of charm, if you will. And you know, very oftentimes, and this is great for your listeners out there, I mean, most every time an architect is going to build trouble off the tee, you know, maybe you know, whether it's water or it's you know, tough bunkering, you know, that's going to be the side that the golfer is going to want to attack the flag from, or attack the green from. And you know, the side that doesn't have the trouble, you know, it might seem a little bit more inviting to the golfer when they're standing on the tee, but once they get to their second shot, they're going to realize that it's not the best angle to attack the green from. So I think that was the best thing that I learned, you know, hanging around Jim and you know, trying to understand what Tillinghast was really trying to think.
Yeah, and he spoke to it. It's an interesting thing because it talks about width and angles, and we had Phil talking on the show at one point, and we were talking exactly that. In fact, Shinnecock did the same thing. I know they're narrowing it, obviously, for the U.S. Open this coming in June, but they had just finished a widening restoration to bring back the idea of angle, width and angles, and just because you're in the fairway doesn't mean you're in position A.
Correct. Yeah, some fairways are deceptively big, and yeah, what you mentioned at Shinnecock, I mean, they're narrowing a couple fairways that were 50 yards wide down to 40 yards wide or something like that. So there's still plenty of room to hit the golf ball, but you know, I guess they're trying to test the best players on the planet. But you know, at Paramount, we have wide corridors. We removed some trees that really, you know, weren't strategic to the play of the hole. And when you understand, you know, there are certain better sides of the fairway to come in on, and you know, you try to hit it over there. And but it takes a little bit to learn that. I think it's Paramount's just not a cookie cutter golf course like that. There's a lot of strategy, and you know, it's like a fine wine. You know, it's just maybe it's better. Maybe it's more like the layers of the onion. It's got like there's just more of a the more you peel away, the more you kind of understand, you know, where you have to be, and there's a lot of nuances. Even though we're only about 6,800 yards long.
Our guest today is Steve Scott, the head professional at Paramount Country Club in New City, New York. Steve, your former caddy from your amateur days is also a teaching professional, of course, tongue-in-cheek, because it was then your girlfriend and now your wife, Christy. She's the LPGA teaching pro. What kind of services does she offer to the members or to the juniors at Paramount Country Club?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wouldn't advise any of your listeners out there to marry their caddy. but when they're as pretty as my caddy, you can't help but latch onto them. But no, Christy and I've been married for 18 years now, and we have two great kids and a 9-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl, and you know, yeah, it's really neat. But Christy really is involved completely on our ladies' side. She's brought in over 30 ladies. 30 new ladies in the past 3 or 4 years here at Paramount who have been members here with their husbands who never played golf. And you know, she's got a lot of great ladies programming that really kind of breaks down the barriers of having you know, being intimidated on the golf course. You know, instead of you know, one of her hallmarks of her programs is that she makes sure that if it's a two-hour class, let's say an hour of it is going to be on the range, and then an hour of it's on the golf course. Because you know, let's face it, you know, when it's the two different games, right? You know, you're practicing on the range or on the putting green versus actually getting out there in the flow of the game and on a course and trying to, you know, shoot a score. And she really, you know, she starts it from the green and goes back to the tee. And you know, there's just progressive levels of instruction that she does, and she's formulated a lot of our junior golf programming in the same way. And so, you know, it's all about getting new people into the game and, you know, having them excited to play the game and not being intimidated by the game. Because let's face it, when we stand on a tee 400 yards away from a hole and they say, oh, you got to hit it in that 4.5-inch hole, like, way over there, and, you know, people will look at you like, really?
Piece of cake.
You know, you got to keep it simple and start at the green, you know, start 25 yards, 50 yards away, and, you know, work your way back. And so it doesn't seem so intimidating.
We just have about a minute left. I'm just wondering from your personal standpoint, because you are board of director on the Met PGA, you do play in Met PGA events, you played in the PGA Club Professional Championship this year. Is it fair to say that a goal of yours coming up for this coming season would be to qualify for the PGA Championship through the PGA Professional Championship?
Yeah, for sure. You know, unfortunately, the qualifiers for next year's National Club Pro have already happened here in our section, and I unfortunately missed out. But so I'm going to have to get a crack at it next year. But yeah, you know, it's certainly on my bucket list. I would love to play in the PGA Championship. I played in the Masters. I played in the U.S. Open. I would love to put the PGA on that list as well. And I'll get there some point. The game just hasn't quite pieced together when I needed it, but you know, it's close.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to talk golf with you, and you know, like it's been fantastic and insightful. And appreciate your time.
I love talking golf. I can talk golf all day, and I appreciate being with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's Steve Scott, head pro at Paramount Country Club in New City, New York, and we're going to wrap things up when we come back after this short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
Okay, we're back on par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Steve Goldman sitting in with Anthony. Anthony on the line down in Florida. You know, fascinating guest, Steve Scott, the head pro at Paramount Country Club. I wanted to read a quote from the website. He said, "The game of golf and the word integrity go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other." And I think that was pretty evident with our interview with him this morning.
Yeah, he's a quality guy. And to be honest with you, just think of, you know, I'm sure, you know, what we witnessed in that situation with him is sort of that, if you want the devil tempting somebody to, you know, you've got the angel on one side and the devil on the other. And just think, imagine that someone could have easily pretended they didn't see him, or he maybe walks and talks to his caddy. And then there would have been, and let's say he wins the match and he wins it that way. I think there'd be a good portion of people who would wonder if he had done it on purpose, and then I would always be questioning that, you know, his motive there. And I think the nice thing to know about him and the game of golf is that he eliminated that potential of being questioned by doing the right thing right from the start.
He sure did. All right, well, that's it for this show. The half hour goes by quickly. Anthony, thanks for letting me quarterback today. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And to our listeners out there, enjoy the rest of your weekend and make sure you see your local PGA pro. This is On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Have a good afternoon.